This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Holy Prophet, the most refined and the most compassionate of creatures, confronted by a wild man with messy hair from the deep desert, brought up without any kind of schooling, hundreds of miles from the nearest book, just tribal stories and legends, the worship of idols, passion for tribe and family, jahiliyyah. And these people are coming into Islam and learning a few things. And this wild man, at least he speaks respectfully to the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other incidents where the Bedouin is not so polite. One case where a holy prophet is riding and a man from the desert comes up to him and says, "Ya Muhammad." That's disrespectful to use his personal name. Even Aisha radiallahu anha would say, "Rasulullah, Nabi Allah, Safi Allah." This rough guy, this hillbilly, just says, "Oh Muhammad, yu'tini min mali Allahi alladhi andak. Give me some of God's money that you've got." فَهَمَّ بِهِ أَصْحَابُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The companions were kind of shocked by this and wanted to teach the guy a lesson. فَقَالْ دَعُوا But he told them, "Leave him alone," and he ordered that he be given something from the treasury, from the Bayt al-Mal. Always in these incidents where the chosen one, salawatullahi wa salamhu alayhi, is confronted by one of these wild men fresh out of jahiliyyah, he shows gentleness. Maybe we know some of the stories. One of them stood up in his mosque, urinated. The Holy Prophet said, "Wait until he's finished," and then gently he told the man that mosques are not for that. He could write a very beautiful book that would tell you a lot about the prophetic ethics of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to a people, ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. Their forefathers were not warned, they are heedless. And with them, he shows this gentleness. So in this case, the desert man comes and says, "O Messenger of Allah," this is a better start, "when's the end of time?" Meta sa'a. He's heard a few things. Somebody's told him maybe about Tawheed and the world will come to an end. So he says, "When will that be?" It's kind of interesting to him. Now we remember this question, asked in a different context. When Jibril, the highest of the angels, alayhi salam, comes to Medina in his beautiful clothes, sits knee to knee with the chosen one and goes through Islam, Iman, Ihsan. And after those questions, he says, "When is the end of time? When is the hour?" And what does he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Mal mas'ulu anha," the one who is asked doesn't know more than the one who is asking. Because it is Allah's wisdom that even the highest angels don't know when the show will come to an end. Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam, in the desert, the land of Midian, he sees the fire and he tells his people, his new family, to wait, and off he goes to see, is it a tribe? Can he get some light or something from this light? And then, lo and behold, the voice speaks to him, telling him that he is the only God. Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana. Truly I, only I, am Allah. And then tells him to establish the prayer, wa aqimi salata li dhikri, and then, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. It's in Surah Taha. If you really want to savor the exquisite rhythms of the Holy Quran, memorize these passages from Surah Taha. It's ecstatic. But the grammar is difficult. Ibn Juzay, who is one of the great tafsir authors from this land of Al-Andalus, spend some time about this. Musa is being told so much, the voice knows, but won't tell him. The hour is coming, for sure. And then this strange phrase in Arabic, akadu ukhfiha. And there's even different readings, akadu akhfiha, and it's a bewilderment to the grammarians of late time and of early times. Ibn Jazay works through this. And he says some of the grammarians say that there's a waqf after the end of the verse, so you could read it, wa inna sa'ata atiyatun akad, deep breath, ukhfiha litujza kullu nafsin bima tas'a. One interpretation of some of the early mufassirun is the hour is coming almost, deep breath, but I choose to hide it so that every soul may be rewarded in accordance with what it strove for. It's a bit awkward given the flow of the Arabic. But this ukhfiha, I hide it, according to Ibn Juzay, who's a master grammarian as well as a great faqih, one of the last great Maliki fuqaha of Granada before the curtain fell and the darkness appeared, rahmatullahi alayh. He says this ukhfiha might mean the opposite. There's some words in Arabic that strangely mean the opposite of what they seem to mean. So I almost bring it out. I'm almost announcing it to you, my kalim, my spokesman. And the discussion continues. But the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us. It is not known to the highest prophets and to the highest angels. It is a mystery. وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah's is the unseen of the heavens and of the earth, and the Qiyamah is really the end of the earth. It's in Surah An-Nahl. Allah chooses to keep this in the ghayb. But this wild man from the desert wants to know. So he asks the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَتَ سَاعَ, when's the end of time, when's the hour? قَالْ مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. He says, what have you got ready for it? Chosen one is not going to send him away with kind of slap on the head saying, silly question. No, he wants him to benefit in this maybe only encounter that he'll have with the man. What have you prepared for it? Never mind putting it in your diary. Are you ready for the time when time itself is no more? So this is useful for him. What have you got ready for it? And the man says, I haven't got ready for it much prayer or much fasting, but I love Allah and his messenger. Good answer. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A man is with the one he loves, or is with those he loves. This is a common phrase subsequently based on this hadith. A man is with those he loves. In other words, if the people you really love to hang out with are the people who are playing Grand Theft Auto at 3 a.m, you're one of them. That's your community. That's the reality of where your heart is. It's quite a subtle and perhaps intimidating observation. Where are we most comfortable? Worth thinking about. So he's giving him another important lesson that he can understand. It's simple, but it's profound and important. And it refers, of course, to the hour. On that last day, you'll be with those whom you love. And the man has said, I'm praying and fasting, I'm not very good at all of that, but I have love for Allah and his messenger. This love. And the Holy Prophet said, you will be with those you love. Surprising, perhaps, when we consider the vast importance of prayer and fasting. It's not saying don't do that, and the man is not necessarily doing less than the bare minimum. But there's something else in religion other than the simple calculation of the number of rak'ahs and the estimation of the due reward. There is something that is from love. Love for what is perfect, God and his messenger. That's enough. Another hadith from Abu Razin al-Uqayli, radiallahu anhu. The Holy Prophet was asked, Mal Iman, what is Iman? And he says, An yakun Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayka mimma siwahuma. Faith is that Allah and his messenger should be more beloved to you than everything else. Simple, difficult, challenging. We compare ourselves to this. What or who do we really love, if we're honest? What are the contexts where we are happiest? What represents our highest preoccupation? Who are the beloveds that preoccupy us so much that we can't think about anything else? Love. We know the story of Majnun and Layla. Layla, the desert maiden, Majnun or Qais, falls in love with him, and his parents are kind of beside themselves because she's off in the desert and she's just, you know, it's annoying. They've got their own plans for his marital future. But he's wandering around talking and singing to the animals, and he's just kind of fixated on his beloved. And so his family think, well, let's get him to do the Hajj. He'll be in the presence of Baytullah al-Haram. That will re-coordinate him. That will sort him out. He'll make his tawbah and forget this girl, this bint. And so he does his Hajj. And they hear him saying on his tawaf, Ya Allah, zidni hubba laha. Oh Allah, make me love her even more. Another parental disappointment that, you know, this love takes us over and indicates what we are and what we care about. More beloved than everything else. Another hadith, there's lots of them on this, about iman as love. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min ahlihi wa malihi wa nasi ajma'in. Not one of you has faith until he loves me more than his family and his property and all mankind. This is not some kind of ego thing by an influencer who wants lots of likes. No, because he represents a principle, human perfection, beauty. So iman, which is not really the same as belief, which is a kind of mental calculation, really, the kind of gymnastics that theologians perform, but something that comes from the heart, which is closer to the essence of what we are. Iman is hahuna, taqwa is hahuna. These great religious states, fear and love, are here. You can't decide to love someone or not to love someone, or to love them more or to love them less, because it's a gift. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Allah says this very clearly. Those who have iman and do good things, the Rahman shall bestow love upon them. It's a kind of gift from above. It doesn't really make sense in terms of the material logic of the world. This wood, this love is from above. It's a gift, a rain, a fresh purification that falls upon us from heaven, a great gift. So we begin to see from this prophetic language, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's talking to these basic people, isn't philosophizing. That's not the maqam of nubuwa. He goes straight to the heart of things and he touches human intuition. So iman is really another way of talking about love. Iman is defined as having love for the highest principle, for that which is beautiful, for that which Allah loves. The hadith says, Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Everything that is harmonious, that is a perfect and appropriate combination of his perfect, most beautiful names, the divine loves beauty. We are invited to love beauty as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commends the virtue of dhikr, which is what we do within ourselves. We say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, we bless the Prophet. But he also commands us to do fikr, which is to contemplate what's outside ourselves. And there's a lot of that. Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We shall show them our signs on the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that this is the truth. Again, it's a divine disclosure. God is showing you things as they truly are, rather than as your weak imagining and your ego, your false perception, your veiled sight sees them to be. So what's within yourself, access through this remembrance. What is on the horizons? Alhamdulillah, we've been admiring the sunrise here at the Rosales. Signs. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. Truly, in the way the heavens and the earth are created and the succession of night and day are signs for people of understanding. It's not about logic chopping. It's the lub, which is again part of the essence, the mysterious sir, the enigma of the human creature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us not just to look at things and to work things out through various syllogistic games, but to love things. Beauty is there for us to love. Naturally, you love what is perfect. So love for God should come naturally. Hasan al-Basri, radiallahu anhu, used to say, "Man arafa Allah ahabba, wa man arafa dunya zahida fiha." Whoever knows God loves him. Whoever knows this dunya takes little from it. Zahid is not really interested, because if you know it, you know that it kind of turns to ashes in your mouth just when you think, ah, I've got some of it, it lets you down. So to know is to love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a creation full of signs which is lovable because it's beautiful. It's important in Islam to engage with beauty. Islamic art, beautiful. Which is the most popular building for tourists to visit in this land of Spain? Is it the Escorial, Charles V's crazy palace, Cam Monastery? Nope. Is it the Sagrada Familia, strange cathedral in Barcelona? Nope, it's the Alhambra. Islam does beauty better than everybody else. What do the tourists want to do when they go to India? Drives Mr. Modi and the BJP crazy. They don't want to see the Ajanta temples and the strange images. Some of them do, and they are impressive in their way. They want to see the Taj Mahal, really. That's the famous Indian building built by the Muslims. Some of the Hindu nationalists are now saying, actually, it was built by Hindus, but the scholarly community doesn't give that theory the time of day. We do beauty, alhamdulillah. And our beauty is there to reflect the signs of the divine in nature, which are what give us this love, which is the iman, the secure awareness of how things are. We look around here, just down the road, at the semi-deserted barn on the road up to Rosales. This year, golden orioles are nesting. Beautiful birds. The male is kind of golden and black, the female is a kind of green color, and they have a kind of quack sound, which you can hear at night, even from here, it's very piercing. Beautiful creatures, they make their nests, they have their babies, and then off they go. Where do they go? To Africa, south of the equator. A long journey for them. And then they come back. We struggle with our GPS to locate Rosales. Does Google even know that such a place exists? Puebla de Don Fadrique, okay, but this is difficult. But not for the birds. They come straight back from Namibia or somewhere to the little nests in a particular tree just down the road as pairs. Scientists believe that it's the male and the female that come every year. They have the virtue of fidelity, if you like. What a wonder. Little birds, other birds, trees, everything is there to be loved. Human beings are there to be loved because they have this inward horizon and because they are created fi ahsani taqweem, in the best of forms. So love for human beings. What is the consequence of this love for Allah and His Messenger? Love, as we've seen in the Imam al-Ghazali text, for other human beings. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Again, this iman and love closely connected. Not one of you has iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِجَارِهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, until he loves for his neighbor what he loves for himself. It's a sound hadith with many narratives. So the consequence of love that is vertical is a love for those around us. Is this really the state of today's world? Is this really the state of today's ummah? Suspiciousness, sectarianism, ethnic nationalisms, quiet gossip about people with different fiqh interpretations when this ummah is supposed to be a single ummah. How can you combine that kind of suspiciousness, whose foundation is insecurity, with love? We are to love this ummah for all of its weaknesses. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that even this wild, who knows, maybe he's never brushed his hair. If you see the desert people these days, they're still like that. They never cut their hair. It's a kind of huge matted thing, probably smelly. Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives him these words of advice and says this optimistic thing: man is with those he loves. So somebody in this age who loves Allah and his messenger, even if they disagree with us in this fiqh and that madhab and this issue and that issue, these are kind of ripples on the surface. The Holy Prophet is saying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, respect love. We talk about cultural Muslims. We don't really know too much about practice, but they do the Eid and maybe the Milad, and we love to look down on them. Well, maybe that's the kind of person that the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is saying will be with him just because of that love. Maybe that love renders their inward quite healthy, even if their outward, in the eyes of the fuqaha, rightly needs rectification and improvement, as does the outward of myself and everybody here. We all need to be better. This is a neglected aspect of our religion, but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so often says, love and beauty, love and beauty, love and beauty, and it's in our literature. If you read any of the devotional literature of Islam, well, half of it is about the symbolism of Majnun and Layla and what it is to be a human being half crazy with love of the divine, the supreme veiled beloved. Even the great muftis of the Ottoman Empire used to write these stories about this metaphor for love, ishq majazi, metaphorical love. Kemal Pashazadeh, the great formidable mufti of Istanbul in the time of Salim the Grim, who wrote 1,000 fatwas a day and a tafsir and who knows what else, also wrote a long poem, book length, Yusuf and Zuleika. Yusuf and Zuleika and that love story, but it's all a metaphor. The ulama have always known that beyond the fatwa and beyond the outward things which are necessary if the order of the world is to be maintained, there must be order. Know that beyond that there is this principle which we refer to as love. And this ishq majazi, this metaphorical love for something, for a bird, for the horizons, for whatever, is actually true insofar as it leads us on to the light which is the source of that beauty. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a nafha, an exhalation, a fragrant waft to this ummah, so that we may once again read these hadiths and understand this gift of love and become once again the ummah of the one who is called Habibullah, Allah's beloved, whose love for his ummah, combined with his creator's love for him, will give him the greatest intercession, a shafa'atul uzma, on the last day, when people like that Bedouin will be, by God's mercy, shown the love of the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be saying, my ummah, my ummah. So in these blessed days, the aftermath of the Eid and the Hajj, when we recall the last things, let our hope be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revitalizes in the hearts of this ummah this principle of love for each other, which comes and is purified by the fact that we see in others marvels of God's creation, beauty, amazingness, uniqueness, and that our supreme love is always the divine and the one who is made beautiful in this world and will be even more shining and beautiful in the next world. Muhammad Mustafa, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا، وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام. اللهم ارزقني حبك وحب من أحبك وحب كل عمل يقربني إلى حبك، واجعل حبك أحب إلي من الماء البارد. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.